and a fire to see the truth. But I'm gonna take a stand in all I say and do.
Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, where our conversations challenge Christian growth. This is Sharon Hoskins.
And this is Janie Ratzlaff.
And Janie, the Holy Spirit is our topic today, and what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And so much I have learned just in the past couple of weeks about what the Holy Spirit does, who He is, and the roles He plays in our lives, and how important it is to understand what He does in our lives so that we can recognize Him when He's speaking.
Well, and what you're saying that is very encouraging to my heart and anyone else listening is that you've got your ears open, you've got your senses listening, and you're learning along with me day by day. And isn't that neat that in an intimate relationship that everything can remain new and fresh? It doesn't have to get down pat or a ritual, and then we lose the essence of who He is as a person.
Right.
And one thing that as I was studying this week on really a different subject, I was kind of awed at the way the Holy Spirit has a consistency in directing us. And it's not to busyness. I know that our cohort Ginger shared a book called Crazy Busy, and or Busy Crazy.
It's Crazy Busy.
It's Crazy Busy. and how that desensitizes us, how that keeps us not to be able to even remember from one thing to another when we have crazy in front of busy, and we have busy in replacement of quietness. And, you know, quietness is not a popular word in today's society. If you promote quietness, it's that either you're hard of hearing or you're old or you're a couch potato.
Well, and I think that people think, well, I don't have time to get quiet. I know that this week the Lord has really shown me to not allow the day to rule me,
yes,
but to rule my day.
Good quote.
And I think that that's what we end up doing when we say, well, I don't have time for that. We've allowed our day to rule us. Everything that comes along takes us this way and then takes us that way. And whoever calls, just, you know, we got to drop everything and run. And whatever happens, you know, we're just trying to fulfill everything that happens to us in the day instead of taking charge of our day and being purposeful with that day. And so if we do that, I've done that some this week, and it's been amazing the things that I've been able to accomplish and have my quiet time.
So you said that you took charge and you didn't allow confusion and chaos to be your number one. Well, you know, I found a passage of scripture that kind of moves us in that same direction. And as I was studying, I've purposed to go through the book of Luke because it will give you the life of Jesus. And in on the fifth day when I started, I was reading in Luke 5. And if I can, let me read it to you and let it kind of set maybe a preface of where we want to go today.
Okay.
The Lord had just gone ahead and healed someone, and He had told them, don't go and tell anyone right now. And the Lord had a reason for not making it a big public thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pick up in verse 15, or not, we can pick up in verse 14. This is the Lord speaking, and He says, now go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him, meaning the Lord, all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities. Now, Sharon, the healing had happened. Something wonderful, miraculous, and people had heard, and people were coming, and maybe they were coming for selfish reasons, but we all come to Jesus out of selfish reasons, and then we know how to lay down our life and reverse that order.
Mm-hmm.
So people are coming, and He, in His love and graciousness, is healing. Well, Sharon, don't you wish we could see that in the churches today and at whatever season we may be enjoying? But then listen to the next verse. So he himself, the person, the Lord Jesus, who was doing the healing, who was having the multitudes come to him. I mean, you know how sometimes we have a hard time getting a crowd. And I mean, wouldn't we love it if they were just flocking in? Okay.
To hear the gospel.
That's right.
To hear about the cross.
That's right.
To hear about Jesus.
This, you know, stampeding to come. Okay. But it says, so he himself often withdrew unto the wilderness to pray. Now, Sharon, that would be as though we just said, okay, everybody's coming. They want to hear. They want copies. Please mail us this. Please mail us that. Can we call and talk to you about this? And we would just say, we're going to shut it down because we're going to retreat to a barren place, the desert, for the purpose of prayer. Just seems reverse to our society and even our belief system as believers. But there is an example. So the Lord is giving us an example here. He is bearing witness to something that we need to say. Why did he choose to retreat when it looked like he had such a great thing going on? And I just want to bring out the fact that if we don't live our life with a semblance of quietness by waiting on the Spirit, then we are going to miss the real purpose of living. When we get quiet, that really demands a little bit of aloneness, doesn't it?
Yes,
it's not. It's not making the retreat, the seminar, the luncheon. We're having to, as you said, you had to pull apart and do some things differently this week, and you found that that gave you the balance that you needed. Mm-hmm. And I had a dear person tell me this week, "Oh, I would love to get together, but I'm just too busy to pray." Yeah. But you know, they were having stress, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe if we just took an hour out to pray, that might reverse the order of all the other stress. But aloneness is scary for people, but not in the mind of God. And I want to make a one-liner here, and that is there will be no effectual prayer that can be developed apart from a quiet spirit. So we can still have activity, but it has got to come out of the quietness of the heart. And I
think that if you don't, Janie, if you don't get alone with God and start to recognize what his voice sounds like.
Yes.
And know when he's speaking. Then you, in the chaos, you won't be able to distinguish that voice.
Well, you won't hear it, because just stop and think now when you go to a function and there's so many people talking, I feel like I have to put earplugs in my ear to drown out the noise so that I can try to just hear the person right in front of me. And that just doesn't go with the culture. People don't like to have that quietness.
And I think that we have become a Christian society that says, well, I can pray while I'm driving in my car. I can pray while I'm getting dressed. I can pray while I'm doing all these other things. So getting alone and quiet isn't really necessary for me because I really don't have time for that. And God's with me wherever I go. All of that is true and right. We should be praying in our car while we're getting dressed. All of those things, because the Bible says to pray without ceasing. But if we're not taking the time to set apart, to get alone, we won't know when he's speaking to us.
And I think you're bringing a beautiful principle down to a practical application. And what if your total marriage relationship was visiting with your husband on the go, just a cell phone visit, catching a comment or two in between programs, or taking 5 minutes while you're cooking? If you did not have some alone downtime, you will not develop intimacy. You may sustain the relationship, but you're not developing the intimacy that the Lord says that he requires and the Holy Spirit has made a way to provide.
There'll never be opportunities for you to know his heart, to hear how he feels or what he thinks. Because everything that you talk about in the kitchen, in between, on the cell phone, all of that busy time is usually about stuff that's going on during the day, things you need to take care of, all of those kinds of things. So you never really get the intimacy of knowing somebody's heart if you're not spending that quiet time alone.
So what you're telling me then is informational truth is not sufficient to be able to maintain or sustain an intimate relationship.
Absolutely.
So Sharon, then how do we bear witness to our spouse, our children, our loved ones, our family? We're going into a particular season here where there will be a lot of comings and goings of family, and it may not be that the ones that you prefer to have around the most, or you may be going to somebody's house where you'll have to be on your P's and Q's, and maybe there is really love there, but there's overwhelming stress. Mm-hmm. How do you think that we can start to fulfill what it says in John 15:26-27? Let me just read that and see how we think we can give a practical example. In John, it says, but when the counselor, the comforter, the strengthener, there's good two key words, mm-hmm. comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, he will bear witness to me. And you also are witnesses because you have been with me from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit is really the agent. And so the Holy Spirit seems to keep witnessing to a balancedness that does require some aloneness, that prayer is a priority. And the Holy Spirit really has a tremendous battle in how he wants to work with us in applying this. Like, have you ever stopped to think how we can be a quote-unquote effectual witness when our nervous systems are overactive and our minds and our emotions? I tell you how pressed I got this week. Somebody called me to make an advance payment on something I had requested. No problem. So they're going through all the six and sevens that you do, your name, address, mm-hmm. telephone number. Sharon, I could remember my name, but I absolutely blew a complete blank on where I've lived for the last 13 years. And I had had some real challenging discussions before this person called, and uh-huh. I just picked up the phone. And they gave me a hint. They said, well, are you still on? And they named the street. And uh-huh. I said, yes, I am. Now I've just got to remember the number. And I, you know, if feelings made you feel foolish, I was at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. And then in about 10 seconds later, I said, oh, here it is. And here's my zip code. And I even know the extra four digits. But I just pulled a blank. And I realized that the emotions were still back there on another project before uh-huh. this phone call came in.
Right.
And I just momentarily blanked it out. So I believe the Holy Spirit just says, I really want to quiet your nervous system and your overactive mind, your emotions and your feelings. And then another thing as a witness, he has to break down hard hearts that others can see love in action. And have you got any comments on how that can be practically applied?
Well, with hard hearts, you just got to make sure that yours isn't hard.
Good point.
And that's forgiveness. Looking at people through the eyes of Jesus, knowing that, you know what? One day, if they don't get their hearts right, if they don't hear and receive and truly understand that message of Jesus Christ and accept him, their eternal destiny is hell.
Yes.
And to have the compassion and love and mercy, mm-hmm. to just be an example of Christ before them and stop worrying about your flesh. And
you know, you just said a word that was like a firecracker going off. So can we tackle the word destiny? Destiny is different than fate.
Okay.
Okay. But destiny has to do with what's very relevant, making right choices.
Okay.
And I want to be able to say this with clarity. If we make right choices, then we will fulfill the destiny that God has appointed for us. And the destiny is not necessarily just salvation. I mean, we have to have salvation to fulfill our destiny. And I used to look at Judas as an example of somebody who was fated to hell. Okay. And the Lord called him the son of perdition. But he was not really fated to hell, because otherwise, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that, okay, we know that verse. But from the beginning, Judas, even after he was called to be a disciple, never made the right choices. He was either greedy, self-seeking, deceptive, his own agenda. So he perpetuated through his own choices.
He had plenty of opportunity.
He had plenty of opportunity. He was not, and some people see Judas as he was fated and God just designed him for hell. Well, I don't know the fullness of the mind of God, but I know that Judas never made correct choices. Mm-hmm. And being called the son of perdition is someone who chose where they would spend eternity by poor choices.
Well, and you know, you make a good point, because, you know, I recently had someone tell me that, you know, they could forgive somebody who didn't know any better, but someone who was a Christian, they felt like they didn't deserve forgiveness. And you have to understand, this is a young Christian that told me that.
Still has a little law.
So, right. So there's thoughts like that when we say, oh, well, yeah, I can understand that, seeing them through the eyes of Jesus. If they don't receive, they're going to die in hell. But if they're a Christian, then we start questioning, well, why do they act that way? Why do they do those things? They shouldn't do those things if they're a Christian. And so we start categorizing people.
Yes,
and we should not do, we should not do that. So when you're going to your Aunt Betsy's house and she's a Christian, been a Christian for 50 years, and she's not doing things what you think is right or doing things scripturally, then categorizing her as somebody that doesn't deserve forgiveness is not our call. Everyone deserves forgiveness.
Everyone. And everyone is in need of forgiveness.
Even us. I mean, think about it. The things that we do and say, sometimes we just wish we could turn back time. Can I just turn back time and put all of that stuff I just said right back in my mouth?
Yeah. Well, Sharon, that would be fine, except you'd choke on it. So we have to just be careful that we don't spew out the vileness. That, and again, that's really a heart matter, isn't it? Because it's out of the heart. Well, we're back really circling around to be an effective witness. I know that I'm going to need to be bathed and covered with prayer. And I hear people saying all the time, well, Lord bless us and do this and do that and in Jesus' name. So I'd like to pick apart the way we pray a little bit.
Okay.
We're always asking the Lord to bless us.
Right.
Okay. And that's great. That's great. But he says he's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And then he says, and that's in Ephesians 1. We've talked about that. Then in 2 Peter 1, he says that he's blessed us and given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, that we can have the divine nature. And we are to pray in the Lord's name. But, you know, Sharon, what does praying in his name mean? I had to go back and really examine that. And saying, Lord, I don't want it to be traditionally just ending it in, Lord, bless this food and pray in Jesus' name. And by the way, I would like to say that sometimes we need to quit asking for so many blessings and start asking for a few marching orders.
Oh, and that's really good, Janie.
Okay, we need to say, Lord, you have blessed us. Therefore, I've put my armor on as you have said. Now, what are my marching orders for the day? There's going to be conflicts. Mm-hmm. So what are the marching orders for the day? And then to pray in his name so that those marching orders can be heard, as you said, as the Holy Spirit guides us. I found three things that really were important. And you know how I like to do things with the same letter. So this is going to be the purpose, the process, and the performance.
Okay.
All right. So when we pray in His name, then we need to be praying according to His objective, His purpose, His plan. And that means that we are going to have to do more than just look at the temporal circumstances. We're going to have to be reading the Word of God to see where His priorities are.
Okay.
And it's for all of eternity. So we need to know His objectives and His purpose and His plans with a heavenly mindset so we can actually do some earthly battles.
That's really good. I love that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then the next thing that the Spirit, I have to accept the process that the Lord wants and how the Holy Spirit guides us. And He always guides us through the cross. It begins and ends and is sustained daily, whether it's His cross or us taking up our cross.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third element that we need to really consider is, are we going to pray with dependence upon His performance? If we don't, we're saying, I don't trust You, Lord. I'm going to pray to You, but I'm not going to trust You.
If I don't see it happening, then
that's right.
I don't trust that You're answering my prayer.
And so for today, I would say the Holy Spirit bears witness that sometimes we need to be quiet. Sometimes we need to be willing to accept aloneness. And we need to know how to pray with those three P's. It should make it easy to remember so that we can be effectual warriors.
Right. So let's go through those three, just recap.
Okay.
Those three.
The first one is
praying with purpose.
Yep. And then we've got to pray with the process. The process, meaning His time may not be our time.
Okay.
But as you have said, redeem the time because that determines your destiny.
Right.
So we have to accept the process.
Okay.
We want to be like the doctor. We go to Him as the great physician, give me a pill, fix me up, and let me keep going. Doesn't work that way.
Okay.
And then the third element is, are we willing to trust the way He wants to perform? Do we trust His activity to bring about the answer to the prayer?
It may not feel good when He starts answering that prayer.
But when we say we are praying this in Your name, if we want that prayer to be answered because we're praying in His authority, then these are the truths that we need to apply so that He can say, I delight to answer your prayer, my child.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you. That's, Janie, that's all the time we have for today. You want to close us out with a quick prayer?
Yes, I will. Father, You've heard where we say that we want to pray in Your authority by Your name. And so we take every word that was said today and we ask that the Spirit give meaning and life to those words as they come from Him and they go back to the triune Godhead. So we pray these things in Your name, that they become living reality to Sharon and myself and anyone that's listening today. We love You. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us for this challenging conversation. If you want to hear this broadcast again, you can go to SharonHearts.org. And until next time, this is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye and God bless.